That's all right. That's a good deal. Good singing all the way around. Let me get this little button here turned on. All right, how about that? Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking tonight in the book of Jude, I'm looking forward to the graduation, seeing these boys and these girls perform and do their skit and all the hard work that they've put in, plus these ladies that have coordinated it and put it together and got it going and so forth, and the food and the fellowship that we'll have afterwards. I want to tell you, it's just good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. All right, in the book of Jude, if you find the place, you're able to stand. Look in verse 12. In the book of Jude, verse number 12. Now, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, and carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God. If you're not in the love of God tonight, guess who got out? You got to keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you, thou art God, beside thee there is none else. Save the lost, right every wrong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I appreciate Mother's Day and all these mothers that were there. I've been preaching a long time. That's probably the easiest Mother's Day sermon that I've ever preached. Miss Faye walked by and said, "You let us off light, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, but it's coming later on. Brother Darrell did an excellent job, and so I was glad on Sunday night." I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible, I want to preach, and here's the subject title, "A Strange Crowd Feeds With Us." In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you know the Bible says several things. He said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Matthew 5, verse 6. Hey, do you know what the devil's trying to do to each one of you tonight? Is destroy your appetite and your thirst for the things of God. I'll show you later on how he does that. In this lesson you're looking at, let me say to you, is that for a more pleasant atmosphere, the Bible said over there in the book of Psalm, and you ain't got to turn there, but chapter 133 and about verse number 1, you'll find it said, "Behold how good, how pleasant that it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I mean, whenever you're in unity and in harmony with God, in harmony one with another, I don't guess we've got anybody that's not in harmony. I don't guess we've got anybody like that. So before the devil goes to making you think, "Well, he's talking to you," maybe I am. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know that I'm talking the word of the Lord. And if it's getting on you, you ought to do something with God about it. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, the Bible said in Ephesians 4 and about verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, I'll tell you something as we look into that passage and we see that. Do you know endeavoring, you're going to have to work at it. Every now and again, you're going to have to prop something back up. Every now and again, something's going to have to be cut out. Something's going to have to cut out. Every now and again, you're going to have to puts forth some effort to maintain and keep unity. You're having to do that with your wife. You're having to do that with your husband. Anybody here want to stand up and say, "Me and my wife's never had a cross word to say to each other"? Go ahead and lie if you want to. I got to tell you right now, you've got to endeavor to be able to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, number one tonight, whenever you begin to look into this lesson you're talking about, is that we ought to be in harmony. And let me tell you right now, that's just like whenever something is played on that piano, sometimes it'll hit one of those keys, and I'll watch one of these girls, you know, one of these ladies, now they're ladies, they've always been girls to me, but anyhow, one of these ladies, they'll hit a key and they'll go, you know, wrong key. Not in harmony with what they intended. I got to say that when you begin to look into this lesson that's here, we ought to be in fellowship with God. And it's impossible to be in fellowship with God and not be in fellowship one with another. It's just impossible. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out if you're in fellowship with God, in harmony with God and the people of God, that means we're headed the same direction. We're going the same direction. We've got the same orders, marching orders, if you please, and we're looking for the mind of God and the will of God to be wrought in our heart and our life. Now, you know why there's so many dead preachers in the world? That's what the world has come to like. I want something that's just deader than a hammer, and it lacks a little bit, it lacks God all the way around, and somehow or another, but it makes you feel good about yourself like you are without the need to repent, and it's called psychology. We're living in a world like that. I had a lady ask me here a while back and said, oh, have you ever heard Brother So-and-so on TV? And I said, yes. As a matter of fact, I have. And if that's all I had to listen to before I got saved, I'd be an atheist right now. That's how dead, dull, and dry that is. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, there'll be some harmony one with another. Number two is that there'll be some happiness in your heart and your life. I never seen so many Baptists look like they went somewhere and sorry they went. And I'll tell you something right now, that if you are in harmony with God, you ought to be happy in the Lord and you ought to be thankful for the blessings of God that He's bestowed upon you. Now, there's another passage over there that we ought to be able to look at, and it's in 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and about verse number 15. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, I'm going to tell you right now is there's a lot of people that will have this thing be packed out if it's like it is normally, and there'll be some of them, I guarantee you, friend, they'll be here, but they don't want to be. And let me tell you right now is they'll have both their butt cheeks up on their shoulder daring somebody to kick it off. And before it's done, somebody will. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, that if you look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and realize is that if we are together in holiness and that we fear God and we know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. Now, I know it's always a tense situation. I remember there was a man that just wouldn't take the warning. And finally, you remember, I told him, don't shake your head no at me while I'm preaching. I'll have you thrown out of here right now. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? And let me tell you, he didn't believe that. Nah, he's gone. I said all that to be able to say this, is that you'll find that there's a proper behavior in the house of God. And do you realize, you know, that I've sat and listened to a lot of things that were erroneous? But you know, did you ever notice I don't just jump up and go to correcting that right then, or shaking my head or gasping real big? Oh my, and all that business there. You know, I told you one of my news commentators had he had one of them duck butt hairdos, and it looked like a duck butt out, and oh my, you'd have thought I committed the unpardonable sin. Would you have rather me use the Bible word buttocks? Huh? I'm going to tell you, there's some words in there that just about blow you out of the saddle. And mentioned more than one time. And in this Bible lesson that we're talking about tonight, there's a proper behavior that you ought to exercise down at the house of God. I may be letting Brother Eddie, whenever he gets well, I may be letting him preach a little. Not till he gets well. I don't plan to till he gets well. He may say some things that at 87 years old that may not be exactly right. That ain't your job to correct him. That's my job. Brother Darrell says something you don't like, that ain't your job, that's my job. Yes, sir. I can tell you whenever it'll be too far is when it gets to where it's rank heresy, but that's my job to handle that. That's the reason why God said to remember them, obey them that have the rule over you, and that they may do it with joy and not be grieved so forth and on. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, that at the house of God, that whenever you come, there's a proper behavior that ought to be exercised down at God's house. Why do you think we don't let these little old boys and girls go to talking and cutting up and so forth and on? You know the reason being? I'll tell you why. It's improper behavior. Now, we're in the easy part of this sermon. And if you'd like to leave now, you possibly may want to go home now before you get... I'd like to leave myself. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible says that you and I, brethren, we've met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. And the devil hates that. He ain't nothing he can do about it since we got saved, but he hates for us to be able to worship God in spirit and truth. Now, there's many kinds of people that are down there at the house of God that are feeding with us. Verse number 12 talked about that in the book of Jude. There's many kinds of people. There's vessels of honor. There's vessels of dishonor over in the book of 1 Timothy. And this Bible said that, if you will, that when you begin to look into it, there's many kinds of people down at the house of God. Some are sincere. Some are even saved. Some are critical. Some are contentious. Some are just religious. Some are self-righteous. You know what being self-righteous is? You ever met anybody self-righteous? Yes. Yeah, sometimes it's me, and sometimes it's you. Oh, you don't like to admit that because you're self-righteous. Here's how you can tell a person self-righteous. When everything that they do, they find something wrong with everybody but themselves. That's self-righteousness. They're worried about their self, their life, their world, their ministry, their everything, and they're not worried about anybody else. That's self-righteousness. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find out is that if you get into the place to where that you're like this here, I remember while you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22, and you'll just wait there if you don't mind. Deuteronomy chapter number 22. I've gotten a lot of funny looks in days gone by. and no doubt, you think it looks funny from where you are, you ought to see it from where I'm at. Especially with a crowd that's never been here before. And man, you can just tell they're in shock. And boy, I'm going to tell you right up front, whenever you begin to look into it, you'll find is that there's a people that look appalling. I never will forget the first time. And before you say amen or oh me or nothing, just let's just wait and hear the passage. But I remember the first time that I ever said that every time there's a child molester that's convicted, they ought to be hung on the courthouse square. Every time there's a rapist, a sex offender, they ought to be hung and on the courthouse or shot up in before a firing squad. Now pay close attention. I can't tell you the looks of people that were appalled that I would say that. You know the reason why they are? They never read Deuteronomy 22 that I'm fixing to show you. In this Bible you're looking at, and I want to show it to you, is that you'll find is that in chapter number 22 of the book of Deuteronomy and in verse number 25. And the Bible said that if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, this is a woman betrothed, but she's single. She's not married. If he finds her in the field and a man force her and he'll lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. I'm going to tell you what God said there in that Bible. That's a sex offender, dear friend. That's a child molester, dear friend. That's a rapist, if you will, dear friend. That's a sex offender according to God in the Bible. And I'll tell you what God said. He shall die. You know the reason why the prison is in mess, such a mess that it's in? There's too many people up there that ought to be dead. Yes, sir. That we're having to feed, yes, fundle money, right, buy clothing, right, furnish them with every luxury they can of life. In this lesson you're looking at, let me say to you, is that you'd be, and if you're not careful, some of you may get caught trying to gasp enough. Oh. Gasp all you want to, honey. I've read a Bible passage to you. See? In this lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said, and listen, I've seen people, you know, boy, they go to shaking their head. They want you to know they don't agree with, go to shaking their head. If you don't agree with the Bible, knock yourself out. See that? in this lesson you'll find is that what that is, that's disrespecting the office of the pulpiteer and the man of God. I realize, though, and you don't have to agree with everything that I say, but you better be careful you don't disagree with what God said. And I'm going to tell you something else. You better be careful about it. You do not have to like what I say. You don't have to believe everything I say. But bless God, honey, you better be respectful. Look in your Bible, if you will, please, over there in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to give you a passage in a moment. Chapter number 14, 1 Corinthians. I look there in the chapter, and you know, as we get closer and closer to the end time, the more chaotic things become in the world we're living in. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible said in chapter 14, verse number 40, watch what he says. Let all things be done decently and in order. You know what the word decent means? It means conforming with the general acceptance, the standards of respectability, or moral behavior. If you do things decently and in order. Now, he wrote that to a church that had the misuse and abuse of tongues. And they no doubt women were out of line and men were out of line. Did you notice, looking back verse 31 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians, for ye may all prophesy one by one. You can't have but one preacher at a time working. You know why? It'd be chaotic. You know why? Nobody would know what the other one was saying. And here's what he said, for he said that all may learn and be comforted. If you're trying to misbehave in the house of God, somebody's going to miss a little learning that they ought to get. In this Bible lesson, look there in verse number in the same chapter that we're looking at. And I want you to look at another passage there just real quickly. And here it is in verse number 33. For God is not the author of confusion but of peace, as at all the churches and saints. I'm going to tell you what God's intending. He's not intending for people to leave here messed up like a termite in a yo-yo. He's intending people to walk out of here and to be able to know more than when they first came in. Now, there are going to be a certain amount of people. They don't give a rip. They're going to make their mind up, and they're not going to be confused with a bunch of facts, and they're hard-headed and hard-hearted and ignorant about what God said. Look in verse 38. You think he didn't have the same people? If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You want to take your old ignorant self and just keep believing that stupid, dumb junk? I'll tell you what he says, and it's not going to be me. I'm responsible to tell the truth of God, but here's what's going to happen. Remember that fellow by the name of Cain? He had a brother by the name of Abel. And if you remember right, that Cain, he liked to be able to have the fruits of the ground. He wanted it beautiful and pretty, whereas Abel, his brother, offered a blood sacrifice unto the Lord. And God had favor unto Abel's offering, but he rejected that of Cain. Now pay close attention. Do you know what God told him whenever he woke up where he was? And he said, why is thy countenance fallen? See, your face will give you out. If you're not happy, your face, your countenance will give it out. And let me tell you right now is, whenever people are not happy with the blessed word of the Lord, it'll show up on you. Why is thy countenance fallen, he asked him. Now, you know, the Bible says over in the book of Proverbs chapter 15, about verse number 13, that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad whenever I got ready to come to the house of God. While you look over in the book of Mark in chapter 1, we're going to close. I remember as I got in the car and I thought, Lord, it's good to be saved and to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. I don't suppose that we've got anybody that's like this, that's bowing up against God and the Word of God. I don't suppose we got that. But just so these boys and girls may recognize and realize they're going to deal with that down the road, there's a proper way to behave yourself in the house of God. I used to go to church with some people way back whenever I was a kid and didn't know any better nor care any better, as long as I could get up and get out of there pretty quick. And I can remember that there was a gal said, "Now, I tell you what I'm going to do is that I'm going to be there tonight in the church. And when that old preacher whose mind's about gone, whenever I've caught him at his most vulnerable place, I'm going to ask him some questions he can't answer and make a fool out of him." Some of them old men that knew God in the Bible, they may not have known much as she did, but they knew some. They got wind of it. "Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to come to the house of God with that. Why don't worse, you just stay home? You don't care nothing about God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. Why don't you just go ahead and take some time off? Why don't you find a church you can be happy in? Why don't you find a place where everything's running like you think it ought to be run?" I've had people tell me, "Boy, I'm telling you, preacher, I'm getting sick of you." Hey, I'm sick of myself. I like that coffee better than I do me. Mark chapter 1, we're going to close. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you right now, he said in verse number 15, he said, and saying, this is the Lord Jesus saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, I want you to watch this. Verse number 21, he goes on down to Capernaum. Straightway on Saturday, he enters into the synagogue and he taught. And look, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Let me tell you, there was a whole lot of this going on. While Jesus was preaching, "Oh, no, oh, no, that can't be. Are you listening?" Notice, if you will, please, that in the passage there, they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority. And there was in that synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. You know, that's the actions of an unclean spirit. And cried out and said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Now, I want to tell you something, is that there's been a lot of boogers that have been pulled out, pulled up, and thrown away down through the years at the house of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm already getting old enough and closer to the other side. I want to get to the place to where that I go home before dark and before I messed up my testimony. See? Some of us in here can say that. Now, I'm the young kid on the block. Brother Nolan, God bless you for being here all this time. Brother Eddie, God bless you. God letting you live as long as you've lived. Miss Faye, I can't call Miss D because I'd get in trouble on that. But let me just say to you that if you will, what we want to do as a good example for you is we'd like to be able to leave here shouting, yes, sir, when it comes our time to go, not having showed our buttocks at the house of God before these children. God bless you. God bless you. And let me say in closing that, if you will, every now and again, I don't know about you, but every now and again, it's just real hard to control yourself and to exalt the name of the Lord. And you know why, don't you? Because your buttocks on your shoulders get in the way. Sometimes people, you can hear them, they go, they're like, That's good when people are hollering, "Amen." That's right, preacher. It's good when people are trying to be complimentary. That's right. It's good when people are, but let me tell you, when you get to the place where you're wanting to show your buttocks, you better calm that down before God has to wipe it clean out for you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm saved. And I'm glad to see these boys. I knew these boys before they were ever conceived. I knew some of these girls before they ever got conceived. In fact, is I look out there and take for granted some of you that are older than you are, but no, but really and truly, I'm just saying to you, I've known you before you ever was anything. And the last thing that I ever want to do is be a hindrance to you and your worship before God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, that thou art God. Beside thee, there's none else. And Lord, I pray your blessings. Build a hedge about these boys and these girls, these young men and young women. What a privilege that it is to be in the house of God. Yes. We pray that, Lord, that now you'd bless every request that's been mentioned. Those that are sick, we pray you'd heal them. Those that are bereaved, that you'd comfort them. Dear God, may you strengthen us in the inner man, that we may leave here shouting, glory unto God for his unspeakable gift when it comes our time to go. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we